I worked for cattle companies as a vet, and worked for three of them, and got actually let go from two of them. So they trade hands, you know, and they don't always keep the same people. It's the same old deal. But anyway, I've always been a whatever you call me now. I haven't really changed any.
Cowboy humorous and yeah. Poet.
And they didn't pay me for it, you know.
Or poultry guy.
Poultrygeist. Poultrygeist, yes. Cowboy poultry. So, and I was always the guy that went, when I showed up at the ranch or the feedlot, I had the latest joke, and I wrote songs forever. You're a musician, I know, and yes. I had a band myself in the old days.
Well, you did.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about the band after we figure out how you got into radio.
Yeah, well, I started somehow telling these stories to my friends and my cowboys, and then I started telling stories about them, and then I started making them into poems, and as the years went by, and the last job that I got let go from in 1982, I was doing a little of this on the side. But in all fairness, in every community, everybody has a function. When there's a community project going on, and my function, you know, it's like, I said, well, gosh, we got to put the bleachers in. How are we going to move them? Well, hell, he's got a rental unit. We'll get Bill to do it because he's got the forklift, and he does it every year anyway. It's what I call the potato salad theory. One lady told me one time, her mother told her, never learn to make potato salad. And she said, why? Because she said, if you do, you will develop a reputation. And from there on out, for the rest of your life, you will be making the potato salad. Someone will say, well, we're going to have a picnic. Jim, you can bring the burgers because you're working at IGA. And can you get some chips down there, too? And maybe you could make the tea. And well, who will make the potato salad? Oh, she'll make the potato salad. She always makes the potato salad. And I was the guy that, just like you probably, they said, well, who are we going to get to be the MC? Well, Baxter can do it. He does it. He's not very good, but we can. At least he won't embarrass us. Right?
Yes, sir.
So in
yes,
every
sir.
Community, and so you don't just suddenly become somebody who's good at something. I get a lot of this cowboy poetry deal is wonderful, and there's a lot of good cowboy poets. But most of us are, it's a hobby. But every now and then I run into a fellow or a lady who says, well, I've got my first book out, and I'd like to go perform. I'm ready to do it. How much should I charge? And I tell them, do $1,000 free, and then they'll come to you. And that's the truth. You don't just suddenly become an accomplished performer or an accomplished anything without putting your time
so
in.
So it wasn't just overnight that you became a national radio celebrity.
I bored people stupid. I can remember them numbing, falling off their... I emceed so many cowbell banquets and Burt Parks and all the Rodeo Queen deals. I did the pre-rodeo announcing, the little britches, you know, all those things for years.
Free?
Free. Of course free. What are they going to pay me? And then I got to work for this last company, and it was a company that was a Cooper's, good company, sold animal health products, and I was there one of their technical vets. So I did a lot of programs educational programs for their producers and vets and stuff like that. And it was always more humorous than it was educational, so I was often invited, well, can you stay for the banquet tonight? You know, a county cattleman's, and I was giving a little educational program that afternoon. Get up and say a few words at the banquet. So I'd get up and say a few words, and the next thing, after 2 years, we were in demand. I mean, it was great. And I actually hired a secretary to help keep this straight. And so when this company let me go, we had deals lined up for free, of course. So we had to call them and say, can you pay us a little something?